Well, I see by the clock on the wall that we have about 20 minutes left, and I've got about 35 minutes worth of message to share with you. So I'm going to ask you if you're okay with Pastor going a little over. Too bad, I'm going to go over anyway. Good morning. Are we on, or have we been on? We're just on now. Okay. Welcome to those of you waiting for the live stream. I told them that it would be on it. 20 till. We're about 15 minutes late, so I'm sorry for that. But welcome to our services this morning. I am really glad that all of you are here. I believe with all my heart that there is not there's not an accident that you all are here today. So those of you who are visiting with us, those of you who have been coming kind of sporadically but are here today, this is not a coincidence that you're here. This is a divine appointment for you and for me. We begin this morning our study of the two books of Corinthians, books that are letters that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Much of what we are going to be studying in this duology of letters has to do with the function of church life and its leadership, and we're going to find out what all our parts are in this leadership of the church and in the church moving forward. This week, we read the first four chapters of the first of these two letters to the church in Corinth, and here's what we read. We looked at the introduction, which was simply just Paul introducing himself and who was writing the letter to, and then he goes into a time of thanks, and this is kind of a familiar vibe for Paul's letters, and we're going to see this over and over again as we get into some of the smaller books. The smaller letters that Paul wrote, we're going to see that there was an introduction and a thanks for those people. Then Paul goes into a discussion on divisions in the church. He's saying that some of you are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. Others are saying, I follow Peter's. And even the most spiritual of you are saying, I follow Jesus. You know, forget Paul and Peter and all these other guys. I'm following Jesus. And Paul goes into this discussion of the fact that the church is not to be divided because we're all part of the body of Christ. And we read that this week. We also read in the next section here that Christ is God's power. He's not a representation of God, but he has God's power. He is God's power. Then in the next section, we talked about God's wisdom coming through His Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And we talked about what that means, or Paul talks about what that means. And we're going to talk about what that means here in a little bit. Then Paul in chapter 3 talks about how to grow a church. He talks about the different parts of the church and why they're all necessary. He then gives a sort of a 13-verse dissertation on what true apostleship is and the fact that, and again, he's defending his position as an apostle. And then he gives an appeal and a warning to them. He says to them, look, I want you to listen to me. I want you to get along. I want you to love each other. And he said, and if you don't, I'm going to be coming. And I hope you get this right before I show up, because I don't want to have to scold you. I want to praise you, and I want our time together to be wonderful. But if I have to, Paul says, I will come and lower the boom, so to speak. That's a paraphrase. Paul doesn't actually say lower the boom in the scriptures, although it would be cool if he did. Anyway, so today, What I want us to answer this question, okay? This is the question I want us to answer today. Where does spiritual wisdom come from? There are people in our world who seem to be wise in spiritual matters, who seem to know what the Bible says about everything. And they have an answer for everything, you know. And they're, you know, Michael Jr., if you know him, the comedian Michael Jr. calls people like that oversaved, right? You know, like when you say, man, I lost my keys. You need the keys to the kingdom, right? It's like, you know, or you say something like, man, I'm thirsty. You should be thirsty for the Lord, you know. It's like, I'm just thirsty. I just need some water. Living water, brother, you know. Is it oversaved? And if you don't know anyone who's oversaved, it's probably you. Yeah. But seriously, we want to answer the question today, where does spiritual wisdom come from? And to answer that question, we're going to look at seven verses from chapter 2, namely verses 7 to 13. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read this. The words are on the screen, so if you would like to read along, you can do that. But if not, you don't feel like you have to. Let's read it together. But we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, and so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome You here. We thank You that You are here. God, we are thrilled to be in Your presence right now. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Your word would go forth. Not Pastor Jim's words, because Pastor Jim's words mean nothing. Lord, Your word go forth, we pray, this morning, so that Your will would be done in each of us today. We love You, we praise You, we thank You for allowing us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're asking the question, where do we find spiritual wisdom? Where does it come from? The first thing we need to understand about spiritual wisdom is that it comes from God. Okay? It comes from God. Right? It doesn't come from the world. You are not going to find spiritual wisdom by reading psychiatry books. You're not going to find spiritual reading by reading philosophy books. You're not going to find spiritual wisdom by watching the movies or television or even sports. You are only going to find spiritual wisdom from God. Now, Paul says something very interesting here. He says, we declare God's wisdom that it is a mystery that has been hidden. God's wisdom is mysterious. There is much about God's wisdom that is foreign to us. Right? God's wisdom says, when someone hurts you, be kind to them. That's foreign to us. What we say is, when someone is mean to you, lower the boom. Right? Get even. Spiritual wisdom, God's wisdom says, in order to be number one, become the last. Our wisdom, that's foreign to us, because our wisdom says, no. We have to do everything we can to be number one. This mystery is found, right, in Christ. As we read the Gospels, as we read the epistles, as we read the book of Acts, as we read Revelation, as we read the entirety of Jesus' life story, we understand that His teaching was, if I can use this phrase properly, counterculture. And it's still counterculture. It's counter-humanity, really. Because in and of ourselves, we want our way, and God says no. Spiritual wisdom says, do it God's way. It's mysterious. Paul also says that it had been hidden. God hid his wisdom in the law of Moses. God hid his wisdom in the prophets. God hid his wisdom in the Psalms. God hid his wisdom throughout the Old Testament. And one of the reasons why we spent 3 years reading through the Old Testament was so that we might see God's wisdom in it. God hid his wisdom there, and it was there to be found, but it wasn't found. He hid his wisdom so that the people God would choose to reveal that wisdom to when Jesus came would know it when it showed up. And I love the fact, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. Okay? So it was a mystery. It's mysterious. It had been hidden, but Paul says now it is revealed. Look what he says. He says, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. What he's saying is that it was time to be revealed in Paul's day. He said, this is when God was revealing. It was revealed in Jesus, but God reveals his wisdom to us today through his word. Right? Through the Old Testament, it's still there. Right? God's wisdom is still in the Old Testament. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Because there are folks in Christian circles who are saying we need to unhitch from the Old Testament. And I say that's garbage. I have stronger words, but I won't use them. But it's ridiculous. His word is revealed through the Old Testament. It's revealed again in the prophets. It's revealed in the New Testament through the Gospels of Jesus Christ, through the book of Acts, through the epistles, through the Revelation. All of that, God reveals his wisdom to us. It's also revealed through Jesus Christ. In the beginning, John writes, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it is revealed to us in Jesus. Paul says, Jesus is the image of God revealed to the world. Amen. And so as we look at Jesus, we see God. And as we listen to what Jesus says, and when we watch what Jesus did, we see God's wisdom. Spiritual wisdom comes from God. And who is God's wisdom? Who is spiritual wisdom for? It's for his people. Look at what he says here. I love this. It says, none of the rulers of this age understood from the Old Testament God's wisdom. They didn't understand it. It wasn't for the rulers of the age, because he said, if they had gotten it, if they had understood God's wisdom, they never would have crucified Jesus. They would have accepted him. It's not that they wouldn't have crucified Jesus in order to keep him from saving the world from sin. They would have accepted him as Messiah. And so God, again, hid his wisdom from the rulers of this age. Paul also says it was destined for our glory. God wanted his people to have his wisdom. And now is the proper time. And Paul is saying that's during his day, and I haven't been keeping up. Sorry about that. But look at what Paul says here in verse 10. Well, let's go back to verse 9 here. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by what? By the Holy Spirit. Spiritual wisdom, it's from God, it's for his people, and it comes to us through the Holy Spirit. Now listen, Listen. Hear this, because we, throughout history, people have gotten messed up on this. These facts about God, the wisdom of God that the Holy Spirit brings us, they're not new revelations. Okay? They might be a different way of looking at things, maybe something you've never thought about, but it is still God's wisdom, and it is still revealed through the Scriptures and through Jesus. They are old revelations that now have more information. Does that make sense? It's like, for instance, when you meet a girl and you start dating, or a guy, depending, and you begin to get to know that person. You know their name. You know what they look like. You think they're pretty or handsome or whatever, and you want to spend time with them. And so the first revelation is, I like this person, right? That's the first revelation. And then you spend more time with them, and you learn something else about them. Is that a new... That's not a new revelation of the person, because you already know the person. It's more information on the old revelation. And that's what we're talking about. We know God. We know who Jesus is. And the Holy Spirit then brings us new information that helps us to know Him better. Now, why does God give His people spiritual wisdom? Now, this is going to sound like a duh, right? For wisdom and understanding. God wants us to know how we ought to live. He is not in heaven watching us saying, okay, let's see if they get this one right. Okay, here's another decision for Augustine. Let's see if he gets this one. Oh, man, he messed up again. Okay, let's give him another chance. All right, no, he screwed up again. No, that's not what God is doing. He's not up in heaven doing that. He wants us to go the right way. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to have understanding every single time. Listen, it is not God's will that you fall in sin. God wants you to do the right thing every time. Again, that doesn't mean that we're not going to. It doesn't mean that we don't sin. But God doesn't want us to do that. And so He gives us spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. And He has given us His Spirit. Look at what Paul says here. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And then Paul, I love this illustration. He gives us this illustration of who can know a person except the Spirit within that person. It's like this, okay? I know Roger. I know he's a farmer, right? I know he loves Jesus by the way that he acts. I know he, I think I can call him a good friend. He's a good guy. But as my wisdom, looking at Roger, I see the outward, right? But it's Roger's spirit that truly knows Roger. There are probably things about Roger that he has never told me about Roger. There are things about Roger that he may have never told anybody. But in his spirit, he knows who he is. Right? It's like this, right? When people talk to me about, well, how can I know that my son or daughter has really accepted Jesus? I say, you can't. You look at the way they live their life. You look at the decisions they make. And hopefully they're making the right decisions. But deep down inside, you can't know if they're saved. I can look out on this crowd and I see a lot of people who on the outside look like they love Jesus. This isn't pointing fingers, this isn't accusatory, okay? But only the Spirit within that person knows whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The same is true with me. And so he says, in that same way, no one knows the mind of God except the Spirit of God. And look what he says. We have been given the Spirit of God. This is what we speak, Paul says in verse 13. Not words taught us by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. He has given us His Spirit. The Spirit knows the deep things of God, and the Spirit lives in us. And because the Spirit lives in us, He wants us to know these deep things of God. And that way we can know how God would respond in every situation. So if that's the case, why don't we know how to respond with spiritual wisdom in every situation? Because, first of all, I believe it's because we don't know how to listen for the Spirit. Secondly, I think many of our lives are too busy to hear the Spirit. And it could be, and I hope this isn't the case, but it could be that we simply don't have the Spirit in the first place. God's Spirit knows His thoughts, and therefore His Spirit can relay those thoughts to us. Because the Spirit knows God's mind, He can and will relay that information to us, but we need to listen. Let's go to the challenges, because I think this will help us. All right? So spiritual wisdom comes from God. It comes from the Spirit. It's for God's people, and it's for to help us to have wisdom and understanding to live our lives the way God wants us to live. So here's the first challenge. What kind of things can I do to help me have more spiritual wisdom, okay? First of all, read God's Word daily. The best way to have spiritual wisdom is through a daily reading and study of God's Word. And I'm not just talking about reading it because you have to, because you're in a weekly Bible study and they're reading a certain passage and so you have to read it. Or because you're taking a class that is on Romans and so you have to read a certain chapter in Romans. I'm talking about reading God's Word simply for the sake of hearing directly from God Himself. The Bible is the final authority for our life and for our practice. It is the basis of all that I teach here. At least I try to make it the basis of all I teach here. And it should be the final authority for how we make our decisions, no matter how large or how small. And if we don't read our Bible daily, how can we know what God wants us to do? It would be like my wife going on a trip and saying, okay, while I'm gone, there's some things I want you to do, and getting in the car and taking off. What do you want me to do? Hello? God wants us to know what He wants us to do. And so He gave us His Word. And this is where we start. Second challenge, we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is a skill that takes time to master. It's a spiritual discipline that I don't think we emphasize enough in Christendom as a whole. And again, I'm not getting charismatic on you. I'm not getting Pentecostal. Please don't be frightened, okay? But I think a lot of times we relegate the Holy Spirit to that weird uncle who nobody wants to talk about because he does things differently. So how can you know if the Spirit's talking to you or if it's just your own selfishness talking to you? Three things I want you to remember. And if you have a piece of paper and a place to write these down, write this down. First thing, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do anything that is expressly forbidden in God's Word. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God, and God will not ever contradict Himself. So, if you're sensing that the Holy Spirit wants you to go to your next door neighbor and punch him in the face for running his lawnmower at 7 a.m., while you're trying to sleep in, you can pretty much bet that that's you speaking and not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Second thing to remember. The Holy Spirit will very rarely be the loudest voice you hear. There are always a lot of voices screaming for our attention every day, whether it's our kids, or our spouse, or our job, or the yard work or whatever other situation. Do you remember Elijah at Mount Horeb? Elijah went there because he was depressed. And God came to him in a still, small voice. God sent fire. God's voice wasn't in the fire. He sent a rushing wind. His voice wasn't in the wind. He sent an earthquake, and his voice wasn't in the earthquake. It was in the still, small voice. So you can bet that the loudest voice you hear probably isn't the Spirit's. Third thing that will help you to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. You will hear the Spirit more clearly when you take time, or should I say make time, to learn the discipline of being quiet before God. Far too often when we come before God, we want to start by talking. God, I'm frustrated because this situation is going on. And God, I need this. And I'm asking you to heal my friend. And I'm asking you to do this. And Lord, I want to intercede for this person. And Lord, I want to pray for this. And I want to pray for this. And we've got these prayer lists that are 15 pages long, which there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to take time, make time to sit in the silence. I think a lot of us fear the silence. That the quiet seems, we don't know what to do when things are quiet. We're afraid we might fall asleep or get distracted with other thoughts. But the discipline of being quiet before the Lord will help you to hear the Holy Spirit when He speaks to you. So do those three things, and I believe you'll start to hear the Holy Spirit more often in your life. So the first challenge is to read God's Word daily. Second challenge is to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the third challenge is probably the most important one. Learn to obey the Holy Spirit's prompting in your life. Listen, you can develop the discipline of listening to the Spirit, and you can hear Him speak to you, but if you don't listen to Him and obey what He's telling you to do, you are walking in sin. And it won't be long before the Spirit stops talking. You know, it's like a parent, really, right? You tell your kids, go get in the tub and get showered and get in your pajamas for bed. And they're like, yeah, but I want to... And you're like, I can't hear you. I already told you what to do. You go do it and then ask me your question. And sometimes we hear from the Holy Spirit... And listen, this will happen. I guarantee you that if you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, this will happen to you more than once. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you will stop, and you'll go, "Really? That's what you want me to do? That's where you want me to go? That's who you want me to talk to? That's who you want me to share with? That's who you want me to help?" Yeah, John knows what I'm talking about. But friends, it's not enough to just hear the Spirit speak. We have to do what He says. When the Spirit leads, we have to obey. If the Spirit says, go to this place, do this thing, say this thing, then we better go to that place and say that thing or do whatever He tells us to do. Because if we don't, we are giving ourselves over to sin. Because James said that the one who knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, to them it is sin. It is a matter of listening, but it is also a matter of obeying. I remember not too long ago that I wanted to get a point across to my kids, mostly. We were at the dinner table, and everyone was having a conversation. You know what I mean? Everyone was talking. No one was really listening. The din was rising to a cacophony that was simply driving me mad. Okay? And part of me, there was a part of me that just wanted to go, shut your mouths! But a thought jumped into my mind, and I don't know if this was the Spirit or not. Maybe it was just, I don't know. We'll say it was the Spirit because it worked. So we'll say it was the Spirit. I took the opportunity to try and teach. So I simply started saying, excuse me. Just about that loud. And I think I said that phrase about 5 or 6 times when the person on my right heard me and stopped talking. I continued, and then the person on my left heard it, and they stopped talking, and then the two people on either side began to nudge the people on their, you know, next to them, until finally the whole table was finally quiet. And then I explained that dinner time was getting a bit out of hand with all of everybody talking at once. And I didn't, you know, it's not that I don't mind y'all talking, but if everyone's talking at the same time, no one's going to listen. We need to have these conversations in a manner that everyone has an opportunity to speak and to be heard by everybody else. Like I said, I believe it was a God thing. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to me at that point. But the Holy Spirit is the same way, right? He's not going to scream and demand that you listen to him. He simply wants you to be still long enough to hear him speak. And then when he does, you're going to be overwhelmed. Because he's going to reveal to you, as Paul says, the deep things of God. Right? If you read these first 4 chapters of Corinthians, you know that Paul was upset with this church because they were still babies in Jesus. He said, all you can take is milk. You can't take the deep things of God. But the Holy Spirit longs to give us those wonderful, meaty morsels of God's wisdom and understanding so that we can then take them and then grow to become more and more and more like Jesus. Because ultimately, that's the goal, isn't it? Isn't it?
Amen.
Okay. Thought I was wrong there for a second. Brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you today to take the time this week to really try and listen for the voice of God. And remember, the Spirit is going to tell you. He's going to remind you of things you know already. That's why we need to read God's Word. But we also need to read it so that we know when our own selfish spirit is speaking and not the Holy Spirit. So spend time in God's Word. Spend time listening and then be obedient. Be obedient. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and goodness. We thank you for Jesus and for all that he has done for us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help each of us to learn to take time to be quiet. And Lord, I pray that as we learn that discipline, Lord, that you would speak through your Spirit and that we would hear. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for dismissing the Spirit. Forgive us for not loving him as much as we love Jesus, as much as we love you, because you're one and the same. And so, Holy Spirit, this morning I pray that you would speak to us. And that as we come before you and as we hear from you, that we would obey, that we would be granted that spiritual wisdom so that we would know how to teach about spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.